Hello and welcome to Power Pros Podcast, episode 135. I'm your host, The Hoff, Chris Hoffman, and with me is my co-host and nemesis, Pete Michaud.
It's good to be back, Chris.
Yes, it is good to have you back, Pete. It is good to be back and recording another episode of Power Pros after going on a hiatus for a couple weeks. But yes, we are finally back and we are once again ready to talk about what's going on in the world of Nintendo. So, of course, we're going to have some new games to discuss, we're going to have some news to talk about, and then we're going to have this week's big topic, which is about the new characters we want to see in the new upcoming Super Smash Bros. For Switch.
Yes!
However, before we get to that, let us kick things off with some recent release game impressions. Starting with a game that came out a couple weeks ago, Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze for Switch. This is, of course, a port of the Wii U platformer featuring Donkey Kong and friends Diddy, Dixie, Cranky, and of course, for this version, the newly added Funky Kong.
Awesome.
And of course, the game looks great, and it is packed with old-school platforming goodness. Now, I have to admit, I never owned this game on Wii U. I only played through a handful of levels at a friend's house when it came out.
For the most part, for shame, Hoffman.
Yeah. I know. So for the most part, this is a new experience for me. Pete, did you pick up this version? Did you play it when it came out on Wii U? What's your experience with Tropical Freeze?
Yeah, I haven't picked it up for Switch yet, but I definitely played it for Wii U, and I don't think I beat it, but I definitely played a good chunk of it. And I really enjoyed the game. You know, if you like the original, it's kind of more of the same, but in a lot of cool new ways.
Yeah, it has, you know, pretty much everything you would want out of a classic style platformer. You know, all kinds of enemies and obstacles in your way, you know, springboards, moving platforms, minecart stages, collapsing platforms, you know, parts where you're pursued by, you know, giant screen destroying objects, you know, barrels to launch through, vines to grab onto and swing from, underwater stuff, other types of vehicle stages, and of course, you know, tough, long boss fights, lots of hidden areas and collectibles. And one thing that, you know, I didn't realize was in the game is that a lot of the levels have multiple exits that lead to new bonus stages you might not get to otherwise.
So
it's pretty much everything you would want out of a modern adaptation of Donkey Kong Country.
Yeah, it's a great game. I mean, it kind of picks up exactly where, you know, the Donkey Kong series in general is left off. You know, of course, there was Donkey Kong Country Returns. But, you know, I think Retro's done a really great job with this series and, you know, stayed true to the original spirit.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, like I said, it's very old school. It really delivers, you know, that classic style challenge that a lot of games don't have anymore. I mean, this game actually made my hands sweat. That hasn't happened to me while playing a platformer like this in a long, long time. So the game is very demanding. It can sometimes be frustrating, but it's also really, really satisfying.
I'm really glad I don't have to use your controller after that.
Did you feel the same way, though? Did you find it to be, you know, pretty tough?
Oh, yeah. No, it's definitely, I mean, I'm glad that you mentioned the multiple exits and stuff. I mean, aside from that, there's still just, like, so much in that game that, you know, it's really challenging. You can, you know, of course you can kind of make your way through a level and beat it. Not too bad. I mean, sometimes, you know, the difficulty isn't so great that you can't just get to the end of the level. But there are a lot of, like, extra bonuses or hidden paths or things that you see that you just can't figure out how to get, and it's going to take several lives to figure it out.
Yeah, if you want those KONG icons and you ain't got all the puzzle pieces, yeah, then it becomes, you know, really, really challenging.
Yeah, Chris, it's taken everything in my power to not buy this again on Switch, and I know that sounds awful. Maybe when there's a sale or something, I'll pick it up, but it really is a fun game.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. Originally, I was like, you know, I'm not sure I want to get this right out the gate, and I kind of feel weird paying full price for a Wii U port. But then I decided, you know, I do not have this game in any form. I should really add it to my library, so I ended up going for it.
Are you glad you did?
Yeah. I mean, it is really, really fun. I mean, my pocketbook isn't really that happy about it. But yeah, I mean, there's really a lot to enjoy about the game. And, you know, the one thing that this has that is on top of all the stuff of the Wii U version is it does have, of course, the new Funky mode.
Oh, right. How is Funky?
Well, you know, despite the name, you don't have to play as Funky in Funky Mode. You can play as Funky, or you can play as Donkey Kong and his friends. And you can actually, you know, change your mind about which characters you play as, you know, between stages on the map screen. Mm. So you can choose to play as Funky, who has 5 hearts, you know, 5 hit points. He can do a double jump, and he can hover, and he can land on spikes. Or you can choose to play as Donkey Kong and his allies, and each Kong has an extra heart, so you can have up to 6 hearts at once. You know, otherwise, it plays pretty much the same as it would, you know, the normal Donkey Kong mode.
Sure, which is kind of a good thing.
Yeah, although items are more useful, they cost less, and if you're trying to collect those KONG letters, you don't have to do it all in one, you know, level playthrough. You can re-enter a level. If you've only collected like 2 of the letters, you can go back and just collect those other 2, and then you can be like, yes, I got all 4.
That's cool.
To be honest, it feels like this difficulty option should have been in there from the beginning. You know, I think it's a lot more accessible to a lot more players this way.
Right.
My one issue that I have with the game is the controls. And I'm not saying it's a severe problem, but like, you know, in Donkey Kong Country, a lot of times you hold down the jump button after you jump to bounce off of enemies. And, you know, you sort of use that to rhythmically bounce your way through the level. However, if you're playing as Funky, you also hold that button down to hover. So, you know, if you jump into the air and hold down the button, you will immediately start hovering. And, you know, that kind of can affect how you play. So, you know, you're slowly going to start hovering instead. And that kind of might mess you up a little bit. So in some ways, to do that bouncing that you often do, it's actually trickier to do it with Funky Kong than it is with Donkey Kong.
Good to know.
I mean, I rather wish that they had just added a second required button press to initiate that hover. You know, you hold it down if you want to just, you know, get that height in your jump and bounce off the next enemy or whatever. And then, you know, you hit it a second time to do the hover. And, you know, Funky Kong actually has a lot of weight to him. He's actually heavier, I think, than Donkey Kong or any of the other Kongs. And so, you know, it's a little bit tricky to, you know, get him moving and to use his momentum. So it's not like, you know, playing in Funky Mode with all these abilities is just a free ride. There's still plenty of challenge involved.
You know, I never thought I'd hear you say Funky quite so many times.
Well, what can I say? He is pretty darn funky. And, you know, on top of him being, you know, like, you know, almost the new star of the game, the, you know, physical retail version of this actually has an awesome reversible cover that is like all Funky Kong all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there aren't any other Kong showing. It's just Funky on the front. It's Funky on the back. It is Funky all the way through. It's pretty awesome.
But where's the Funky Kong amiibo?
Yeah, that's a really good question. No Funky Kong amiibo just yet. But yeah, it's a really solid game. It's more accessible than ever. Like I said, I kind of wish it weren't full price, but as someone who did not already own it on Wii U, I can feel pretty justified adding this to my Switch library.
Cool. And I do plan to at some point if the price becomes right.
Understandable. That makes a lot of sense to me. Let's move along to something else I've been playing on Switch, and that is Shantae Half Genie Hero Ultimate Edition.
Ah, Shantae.
Yes. Now, Pete, I know you like to joke about how I'm always talking about this game, always finding some excuse to speak up about Shantae.
You really are.
You know, maybe I am, but that's because it is actually a really good game. And now there's a really good reason to, because there is this new complete version that was just released. This is basically, you know, the Game of the Year style edition with all the extra modes packed in one convenient package. You can pick it up on the eShop for $30, or you can get the physical version that has, you know, all that and more for $40. Of course, it is, you know, the same game that was released previously. So you're playing as Shantae, the titular half-genie hero. I said titular. And she jumps and hair whips her way through the levels, but she can also gain these transformation dances to turn into animals. So she can turn into a monkey that climbs walls, an elephant that smashes through blocks, a little mouse that enters small spaces, a bat that flies in a straight line, etc., etc. And on top of that, there are these RPG elements in the forms of new magic spells you can get and character upgrades. And even though it's level-based, you can return to previous areas with these new powers and find lots of secrets. And, you know, that is just the core Shantae mode. There are lots of other modes in addition to that.
Do tell.
Well, there is the hero mode where you can play through the game with all of Shantae's animal transformations unlocked. There's hardcore mode, which is this extra challenging, you know, super difficult mode that's, you know, good to play through if you want that old school style challenge. Pirate Queen's Quest, where you play as Risky Boots, your favorite character. the Friends to the End mode, which lets you play as three different ally characters that have been around in the Shantae series for, you know, a number of years, but I don't think they've ever been playable before. And this mode I actually never played when it was out on Wii U. Somehow I just missed out on this, so this was the first time I played this mode. So you play as Bolo, Sky, and Roddy Tops. Roddy Tops is a zombie who can throw her head and use that to sort of teleport. Bolo has a grappling hook. Sky has this bird companion that, you know, can help her with her jumps. And by switching between these characters with the ZL and ZR buttons, you're able to, you know, overcome the obstacles and get through the stages. It's not as fun as Shantae's Quest, but it has sort of a puzzle aspect to it combined with neat play mechanics that certainly make it worthwhile. Then there's also the costume pack modes that we talked about recently, the ninja mode, the officer mode, and the beach mode. I think the officer mode might be my favorite extra mode in the entire game. Then, you know, on top of that, there's all these bonuses, you know, lots of, you know, unlockable art and things of that nature. You know, bonus transformations that you weren't able to get unless you were a Kickstarter backer, but are available in this complete edition. Extra costumes that weren't available except to backers, but now are.
Wow.
And then if you got the physical edition like I did, there is a soundtrack and an art book included. So this really is the complete Shantae package.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like everything you'd ever want.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. I mean, I had it on Wii U, but I was holding out on getting all the extra stuff on Switch until now. So, you know, now I've got it, and, you know, I'm playing through it again, and it's just like, you know, putting on like a favorite shirt. It, you know, it fits like a glove. Well, that doesn't make sense if it's a shirt, does it?
How about a wig?
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, yeah, I really enjoy playing through this game, even though I have played through it a couple times before. It is still an absolute blast. So I am really happy with it. Do you like classic-style 2D action? Do you like platforming? Do you like great art? If so, why haven't you been playing Half Genie Hero already? If you've been holding out, there's never been a better time to get it.
Sounds awesome.
Certainly, I couldn't agree more.
I might actually think about picking this one up.
Well, you should. I think you should. You should give it a shot.
Yeah, I know I should, so maybe I'll do what's right.
Well, I guess there's a first time for everything.
What else have you been playing, Chris?
The other game I've been playing is an eShop title for the Switch called Raging Justice.
And how's that going?
And this is the game where Apollo Justice finally snaps and decides that he's going to get out of the courtroom and just beat people silly with a 2x4.
That's amazing.
That's not true either. It's a complete lie. That's not what it is about. But it is a classic-style side-scrolling beat-em-up with two-player co-op action, you know, cut from the same type of cloth as Final Fight or Streets of Rage. And it wasn't that long ago we were sort of bemoaning the lack of games of that type. But hey, here is a brand new one out on Switch, so I thought I have got to check this out and give it a spin.
Now, what do you think?
You know, it's not bad. It is not bad at all. It has, you know, pretty much all the ingredients for a decent classic-style beat-em-up. It has a lot of punches and kicks and grabs. There's a dedicated grab button to help you do the throws. You know, there's a desperation move that drains your health, just like in those classic beat-em-ups.
That's funny.
There are three diverse characters to choose from. In fact, diversity seems to be one of the things they were going for here, because the three characters are like an older white dude, a black woman, and then what appears to be a trans teenager, which is something that I don't ever recall seeing in a game of this type before.
No.
The graphics are a little bit weird. They're kind of like some bizarre hybrid of hand-drawn and pre-rendered and digitized.
Yeah.
And as a result, the animations look kind of awkward, like, you know, maybe some of it was rotoscoped or something. You know, you look at a game like Final Fight or Street Fighter, and, you know, some things might not look super realistic, but it all looks cool. And this is kind of the opposite. Things sometimes just don't look cool. They just look awkward and just a little bit janky. Like, all the characters are sort of huffing and puffing in their idle animations. And even though it's sharper and cleaner and more higher res than those classic beat-em-ups I've been talking about, it sort of reminds me of, like, these early 90s games like Pit Fighter or Primal Rage.
Yeah. Because,
you know, that's just sort of the vibe I'm getting from these visuals.
I'm looking at screenshots of it right now, and Pit Fighter actually was one of the things that came to mind.
I mean, you look at Pit Fighter, and Pit Fighter looks way, way, way worse.
Of course.
If you actually compare them side by side. But that's just sort of, you know, the same vibe I'm getting.
That's funny.
So, you know, like, you throw some punches and kicks, and they just look kind of weird. They seem like they're coming out maybe a tad slow because they have some unnecessary frames of animation.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this isn't the end of the world or anything. Like I said, it has, you know, a lot of the other ingredients you would definitely want. Lots of weapons. You can get a knife and a sword, an axe and a wrench and a baseball bat.
I'm seeing some vehicles in the game. Have you seen that?
Yes. I think there's just one. It's a ride-on lawnmower that you can get. And you can use it to run over the bad guys.
That's actually really cool.
And it, you know, as you can tell, it is pretty goofy. It is, you know, very much straddling this line between you know, goofy and serious, and that's kind of the way I think these games should be. The enemies and the dialogue, especially the final boss encounters, are super cheesy. You can kick a pigeon. That's another thing you can do. You can kick a pigeon.
You've wanted to do that for a while, haven't you?
I really have. And you live in New York, so you probably want to do it every day.
I do, but I refrain.
You know, and then on top of just beating up enemies, there is a little bit of a twist where you can stun enemies and then you can arrest them. And doing that rewards you with extra health. So, you know, if you want to try to restrain yourself a little bit and play that way, you can. If you want to just get all super violent and, you know, beat everybody to death with your weapons, you can do that. So it does add that little difference compared to the classic beat-em-ups of old.
Cool.
So yeah, the action is very solid. It's not necessarily as tight as I'd like. It's certainly not on the level of Final Fight or Streets of Rage, but it is, you know, totally enjoyable. If you're new to this kind of thing, I wouldn't necessarily recommend it, but if you already like these kinds of beat-em-ups, I think you will probably enjoy this game. I don't know if I'll go back to it a lot, but it has lots of extra goals to encourage replay, and I'm certain I will go back to it the next time I have a friend over and someone wants to play some local co-op. Nice. So, you know, for $15, it's definitely not bad.
Yeah, and you mentioned Goofy, but the name itself, Raging Justice, is pretty rad.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, even the name itself, as you point out, you know, does straddle that line between, you know, over-the-top, goofy, and, you know, trying too hard to be serious. So I think it works well.
It looks like something like Midway would have made if they were still around now.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. Not quite as gory and violent as something they would have made, but yeah, it is like that in a lot of ways. It kind of looks like their old stuff. Like, it kind of reminds me of, like, Narc or, you know, some of those late 80s, early 90s arcade games they did. Yeah, it's not like, you know, Mortal Kombat violent, but yeah, it certainly does have a bit of a Midway vibe to it, totally. And that's, you know, probably a good thing.
Cool.
All right, then. Let's move along from these recent games we've played to a little bit of news. So first and foremost, when it comes to the news, shortly after we did our last episode, Nintendo revealed all the details on Nintendo Switch Online, and that's had a lot of the Nintendo universe buzzing. Of course, when you pay to partake in Nintendo Switch Online, you'll gain access to 20 NES games. They've revealed 10 of them so far. They are the classics Soccer, Tennis, Donkey Kong, Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers, Balloon Fight, Ice Climber, Dr. Mario, The Legend of Zelda, and Super Mario Brothers 3, plus 10 more that have not been revealed so far. These games will have online gameplay where applicable, and, you know, even if they don't have online co-op, you'll still be able to watch your friends play and, like, you know, sort of virtually trade the controller back and forth and, like, tag in and out as if you were there, you know, just passing the controller playing couch co-op. That's kind of cool.
It is.
And then, lo and behold, there is indeed cloud backup for your save data. You know, people have been clamoring for this for months, and I didn't really think they were going to do it. I thought they would do something that was just local on your system eventually, but no, they actually are going to have cloud saves. And I'm fairly shocked. Now, we don't know exactly what this entails. They say that the details will be available in September after the service launches, which, you know, that's pretty crazy. Like, shouldn't we know what we're getting before the service launches and we pay for it?
In true Nintendo fashion.
But yeah, so we won't know until then if there's, like, some really big issues with it or there's some crazy restrictions or who knows. I don't know. We'll find out.
Well, I, for one, welcome our save data cloud backup overlords.
Well, it's certainly better than nothing. And of course, there is online play for games like Splatoon 2, ARMS, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, Mario Tennis Aces, Sushi Striker, and presumably Smash Brothers, of course.
Mm-hmm.
We already knew it was going to be $20 annually. You can also opt to pay $4 a month or $8 for 3 months or $35 for a family plan, which includes yourself and up to 7 other players.
Yeah, the prices seem to be fairly reasonable for what you get.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, especially if you're just, you know, doing it for yourself. I mean, $20, that's, you know, seems like a drop in the bucket compared to, like, Sony's service that costs $60 a year.
Yeah. So. Now, granted, you get a little bit more out of Sony's service. You know, there are some things you can use that you wouldn't be able to use otherwise. But I think this comes in at a really good price point for most people, and especially for probably a younger demographic as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I feel like Nintendo still has a lot to prove with this. So by making the price for entry to be so low, I feel like they're going to be like, okay, you know, maybe this isn't, you know, everything you want, but for only $20, how can you refuse? And, you know, that's how they're going to get me, for sure.
Yep.
So, of course, to go along with this and, you know, these 20 NES games, Nintendo has confirmed that there is indeed no Virtual Console branding, no Virtual Console in any other form. And, you know, the writing was kind of already on the wall with this, considering that, you know, all the other companies like Capcom with Mega Man and Sega with Sega Ages and SNK with their 40th anniversary collection were already doing their own retro releases that had nothing to do with Virtual Console. But still, it's, you know, kind of sad and, you know, very weird from a marketing perspective just to drop that name that they had been building up for, you know, the last, you know, more than a decade.
Yeah, it is a weird move. I do wonder if there is, you know, some chance of it reappearing in a, you know, everybody wants this like Netflix sort of style, you know, let me play this library of Nintendo games. But
right, right.
They're not quite there with the, you know, with the 20 free NES games, obviously. But mm-hmm. I do wonder what they might have in store down the road.
Well, I don't think they have anything else in store right now. I mean, they kind of made that pretty clear that this is what they're going to be doing for the foreseeable future. And for me, it feels like a case of, you know, throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Like, you know, I think people wanted a service like this that's, you know, Netflix style or Nesflix style, if you will.
Wow.
But I think people also want to be able to just, you know, buy a single game if that's the way they prefer to play. And also, you know, this is only NES games. So far, there's no sign of Super NES or Game Boy Advance or N64. And, I mean, I think people wanted them to be going the other direction. You know, we wanted to see them getting GameCube games and going into even more advanced systems, not totally going backwards and being like, nope, NES games only, only 20 games. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not only 20, it's going to be, you know, 20 at the start, and they will be adding more games. But, you know, I feel like it's not really, you know, going fully in the right direction. I feel they have, you know, kind of gone off to the side and backwards and all over the place instead of moving forward like they should be.
Yeah, I can't help but wonder, this seems such like as you said, it seems like such an odd choice that they might have something else up their sleeve. Nintendo's on such a good pace right now. They've got a lot of things going for them. I just feel like there's got to be some more to this story that we just don't know.
Well, I don't think there is, but, you know, hopefully they're listening to people and hopefully they will reconsider, because, you know, maybe, you know, there are people who don't want to just, you know, subscribe to the service constantly just because they really want to have Super Mario Brothers and The Legend of Zelda. And sure, you can play those games on Wii or Wii U or 3DS or NES Classic, but, you know, it's kind of nice to have them, you know, on your current system and just pay, you know, $5 a pop for them. Then you have, you don't have to worry about, you know, subscribing for year after year if that's the kind of gamer you are. So, I mean, if Sony can have PlayStation Plus and PlayStation Now, I think that Nintendo should be able to, you know, operate similarly and have variable options depending on what kind of player you are. So while I do like the price and I do like some of the things they're doing, like offering cloud saves, I still think that overall, yeah, it could use a little tweaking.
Yeah, definitely odd move. I'm still probably going to do it. Hands down. I mean, I'd pay $20.
Yeah, like just, I said, for $20, you know, totally.
Yeah, I'd pay $20 just to have the my save data backed up. Sounds funny, but yeah, I would. So yeah, I mean, I'm all in. We'll see where they go with this.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely room for improvement, but, you know, there's lots of good here too.
Totally.
Speaking of classic Nintendo games, though, Nintendo has confirmed that the NES Classic, which they had said would be coming back for you know, another production run this year, it'll be out on June 29th. Personally, I did not expect them to announce a date. I thought it was just going to sort of roll into stores one day, just poof, look, there it is, everybody. But no, they've actually given a release date. So if you want to get one and you missed out before, you should be standing in line right now. Get in line right now.
Right meow?
Right now, yeah. You got one before, of course, right, Pete?
Of course.
All right.
Well, I kind of lucked into it, but sure.
All right. Well, if you need another one, go stand in line. You should start doing that immediately.
I was kind of thinking it would be nice if this version, the remade version, had the second controller, because now it seems like you're still going to have the problem where you're going to have to find controllers.
That's true. It is cheaper to go buy a second NES Classic than it is just to buy that standalone second controller.
Yeah. So hopefully people aren't doing that, but you never know.
You never know.
Speaking of Nintendo news, Chris, have you heard about Mario Tennis Aces getting a time-limited demo early next month?
Actually, I don't think I was aware of that.
So it sounds like they're going to release this demo basically on June 2nd through June 4th.
Okay.
And they're calling it a pre-launch tournament where you'll be able to hop into the role of Mario, Peach, Yoshi, and Bowser. However, I guess there are additional characters that you can unlock, you know, during the weekend while the demo is live.
Okay.
I guess also users of the demo will be able to bag a classic outfit for Mario to be unlocked in the full game, too.
Oh, all right. That's pretty neat. Yeah, that's a good way to convince people to try the game out before it actually hits, which I believe is next month.
Yeah, I think they're also secretly trying to test their bandwidth on the multiplayer of it.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they are, just like they did with ARMS and Splatoon beforehand as well. So
yeah, I think this is a really good move because I am definitely interested in this game, but you know, paying $60 for a tennis game is sometimes a little bit a tough pill to swallow, but... yeah, I really do want to give it a chance. It looks fun.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I mean, me personally, I'm far more interested in the RPG-style mode than just, you know, online versus matches. But it's really cool if they're going to let people, you know, enjoy it for free prior to launch. So definitely good to know.
Totally. Have you also heard about this juicy little rumor that Retro Studios might be working on a new title that will be announced at E3?
Yes, I have. That is supposedly the Star Fox Racing game.
Yeah, what the heck?
I don't know how much faith to place in this rumor. It sounds pretty bizarre. I mean, Nintendo already has a futuristic racing series, and if I was going to make a futuristic racing series, I wouldn't make it based on Star Fox.
Yeah.
But hey, stranger things have happened.
Yeah, it's definitely a weird move, you know, but when I hear it described sort of as like, you know, Diddy Kong Racing, in the sense where, I don't know if you remember that game, but there was basically like bosses in the game. It was kind of like a story mode.
Oh yeah, I remember.
A little deeper than a Mario Kart per se. I think that, you know, given Retro's chops, I have a good feeling if this rumor turns out to be true that this game could be really fun.
Well, I don't doubt their game creating prowess, but yeah, it's certainly a bit of a weird way to go with the franchise, that's for sure. But you know, I guess all we can do is wait and see and discover in the coming weeks if it actually materializes.
Yeah, and I secretly hope that there's a dogfight battle mode, but we'll see.
Okay, well, let's move along to some third-party news. And in the last couple weeks, since we went on hiatus, there has actually been a ton of news from the fine folks at Nicolas. So, first of all, they announced some more details on their upcoming 1-1 fighting game, Blade Strangers. Pete, have you been following this game? Are you aware of it? Were you paying attention when it was announced about a year ago?
No, you know, honestly, I need a refresher.
Well, it was announced about a year ago, and it was notable for having characters from a few different franchises. Maybe not, you know, super well-known franchises, but it had characters from, you know, Code of Princess. It had a character from Cave Story. It had some characters from the title that is known as Yumi's Odd Odyssey here in North America. And it looks gorgeous. It looked like a lot of fun. But, you know, it kind of looked like sort of a niche fighting game that it would be cool to some players, but, you know, maybe sort of, you know, go under the radar.
Mm-hmm.
But that all changed in the last couple of weeks. This has gone from, you know, a cool-looking fighting game to, like, the indie equivalent of Smash Brothers. They have announced that Shovel Knight is in the game.
Whoa.
They have announced that Gunvolt from Azure Striker Gunvolt is in the game. They have announced that Isaac from Binding of Isaac is in the game, as well as Quote, who is the main character from Cave Story. And, you know, this literally broke Nicolas's site last week when this news came out that these characters were in there, particularly, I think, Shovel Knight. I mean, you know, players were really hoping that Shovel Knight would be in Smash Brothers. You know, will he ever be in a Smash Brothers game? Who knows? But he is in Blade Strangers. This game looks amazing. The animated intro looks fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And having him and all these other characters in the game, you know, this has suddenly shot up my list and is an absolute must-have for me now.
Yeah, I'm looking at the screenshots, and they really do all those characters justice.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Shovel Knight looks sort of, you know, big and bulky and intimidating.
Yep.
And everyone else looks really cool. So, yeah, this game looks phenomenal.
Yeah, even Isaac looks amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
And really silly.
He actually attacks with his tears.
Uh-huh. Sounds like you.
Sure. Then on top of that, they announced that Ikaruga is coming to Switch, and it's very soon. It comes out on May 29th. It's only going to be $15. And of course, this is, you know, the classic shooter that came out on GameCube. It was also an arcade game before that, mm-hmm. but, you know, in North America, it was primarily the GameCube. That was the way you could get it. And, you know, it had this really cool color-switching gameplay mechanic where you would absorb bullets of the matching color. You know, you'd make your ship black and you could absorb black bullets. You could make your ship white and absorb white bullets. And so you were constantly flipping back and forth to, like, you know, bypass the enemy defenses. And of course, you would inflict double damage on your enemy. You know, if you were black polarity, you would do double damage on something that was white and vice versa. So it really added this cool strategic element to shooting games. Did you play this on GameCube? Do you remember it?
Oh, yeah. It's a fantastic game. I think I even played the Dreamcast version.
Oh, nice. Nice. Very nice.
Yeah, exciting to have this on Switch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am totally going to pick this up and play it again. I never really played that much on GameCube, but I did really like what I played, so it is amazing to see this coming back. Of course, the developer is Treasure. They are legendary, so this is really exciting.
Yeah, I feel like for $15, this is kind of a no-brainer, especially since you can actually rotate the console and play it the way it's meant to be played.
That's right. It has this famous Tate mode, as the kids call it. So yeah, it's looking really, really cool.
A lot easier than rotating your television.
Yes. On top of that, they confirmed that Code of Princess EX has a release date of July 24th. That's pretty cool. And then they announced Crystal Crisis, which is a puzzle game crossover. You know, Blade Strangers is the fighting game crossover. This is a puzzle game crossover. It's basically Puzzle Fighter, you know, Capcom's Puzzle Fighter, but it includes 19 characters from Nicholas games and other games. It has Quote and Curly from Cave Story. It has Isaac from The Binding of Isaac, and also Princess Solange from Code of Princess. Plus, it has like the President and a zombie from Tempura of the Dead, Akuji from Akuji the Demon, the Knight from Hydra Castle Labyrinth, and even like Astro Boy is in there. Like, why is Astro Boy in there? Oh, and Johnny Turbo. Johnny freaking Turbo is in there. Like, why are Astro Boy and Johnny freaking Turbo even in the same game, let alone some sort of Puzzle Fighter clone? It's just so weird.
Don't ask those questions, Chris. Just go with it.
I mean, I was like never a huge hardcore fan of Super Puzzle Fighter, so I don't know how much I'm going to be into this, but it's still, you know, pretty cool and totally insane that they are doing such a thing. And I know that Puzzle Fighter does have a huge audience, so, you know, for them, for those that have been waiting for a new console edition of that game, this should be really, really cool.
It's got to be up your list a little bit just because of these characters.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Cool. For sure.
Yeah, on mine, too.
Were you a Puzzle Fighter fan?
Yes, actually.
All right.
Yeah.
Very cool. Another game that was recently announced was Bloodstained: Curse of the Moon. Now, this is not the same as Bloodstained: Ritual of the Night. That game is still on the way, but this was a separate game. It is made by Intercreates, and, you know, when they did the Kickstarter for Bloodstained, this 8-bit style game was a stretch goal. I kind of forgot about it. You know, I thought maybe it'd be some sort of iOS Match 3 puzzler or something with the Bloodstained characters. But no, they have revealed this thing, and it is a full-blown action platform game. It looks like Castlevania 3, and you can switch between 4 different characters, acquire various weapons, fight monsters and crazy-looking bosses. It has Miriam, who is the main character from the main Bloodstained game, and, you know, she has a whip, a dagger, and a boomerang. There's a guy named Zangetsu, who is this sword-wielding exorcist. Alfred, an alchemist, who can, you know, use crazy spells. He surrounds himself in a ring of fire, and he can, like, make a clone of himself to attack enemies. And then Jebel, who is basically the Alucard of the game. He can turn into a bat and fly around. And this, you know, I was not expecting this at all.
Wow, it looks really good.
Yes, it looks freaking amazing. I mean, it looks like the second coming of NES Castlevania 3.
And that doesn't have you excited at all.
It has me very excited. I was a backer, so I will be getting this. I signed up to get the Switch version. It's also coming out on 3DS, though. I don't know if the 3DS version will have stereoscopic 3D. If it does, I'll probably have to get that version as well. But yeah, it looks really great, and it is coming out very soon on May 24th. So like just next week, this game will be here. Just arriving out of nowhere, it looks completely awesome. Hopefully, it plays as good as it looks.
Yeah, that's kind of unbelievable.
Yeah, are you going to get it?
Yeah, I mean, just looking at it, I'm like, wow, I can't believe this game is coming out so soon and no one's heard of it.
Yeah, they really play that one close to the vest. I mean, like I said, when they said retro-style game, I did not expect anything like this. It looks really, really good.
Yeah, it looks great.
And speaking of Intercreates, they have also announced another title coming to Nintendo systems. That is Gunvolt Chronicles Luminous Avenger X for Switch.
That's a mouthful.
Yes, yes it is. And it is a Gunvolt spin-off starring Gunvolt's rival, Copen. And, you know, Copen is sort of, you know, the red character. You know, like in all the Mega Man games, there's a red character. You know, there's Proto Man or there's Zero. Well, this is, you know, the red character to Gunvolt's Mega Man. And he was previously playable in Gunvolt 2. He's, you know, a rival to Gunvolt. He can absorb the powers of adepts. But now he is back in his own new game, 2D action game featuring lots of platforming and shooting and this emphasis on mobility. In the trailer, he's just like, you know, bouncing all over the place, bouncing off the walls, bouncing off enemies, bouncing through stages. It looks kind of crazy. I don't really know that much more about it, but Intercreates usually does really cool stuff. They say it is now in development, and I am totally looking forward to finding out more about it and playing it whenever it's released.
Yeah, I'm watching a video of it. It looks great.
Yeah, did you play much of the Gunvolt series previously?
No, I haven't. I did play the one that came with Mighty No. 9, which...
Oh, so you played Mighty Gunvolt, the 8-bit style one, right?
Yeah, and it was less than impressive.
Well, I mean, it was still better than regular Mighty No. 9.
That is true. I can definitely agree.
I thought that game was actually pretty good, but it's a far cry from the regular Gunvolt series. You know, it's very much, you know, cut from the same cloth as the Mega Man Zero series in terms of aesthetics and gameplay.
Yeah.
And, you know, Intercreates developed both series. It's not a bad thing at all. Those are both great, great games. So, yeah, looking forward to this one for sure.
Yeah, looks good.
Moving on from there to some different third-party news, this time coming out of Capcom. A couple cool things going on with them. For one thing, they have announced that Okami for Switch has a release date of August 9th. That should be pretty darn cool when it comes out on that system. And then they have revealed that Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate is coming out in North America. It hits on August 28th. How do you feel about that?
You know, I think it's not the Monster Hunter everybody wants, but, you know, any Monster Hunter is probably a better than no Monster Hunter, so...
So I imagine what you're saying is you were kind of hoping that they would announce Monster Hunter World for Switch, huh?
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, me too. Considering how much hype and how the sales have been for that on other platforms, that would have been really cool. I mean, to be honest, I kind of thought, though, that this was never going to come out in North America because it was released almost a year ago in Japan. It came out there in August 2017 as Monster Hunter XX, or maybe it's supposed to be pronounced Monster Hunter Double Cross, I don't know. So it seemed like it was going to come out in the US. It's like, you know, I thought that was a no-brainer, but then it's been almost a year. I was starting to give up hope, but we are getting it after all. And it is an enhanced port of the first Monster Hunter Generations, which came out on 3DS. And it was, you know, sort of a celebration of sorts of the past Monster Hunter games. It sort of combined the best aspects of those titles, introduced new components as well, such as hunting styles and hunter arts, and, you know, some new enemies as well. And this builds upon that. It's not the exact same game. It adds new things also. It's also going to have local wireless co-op as well as online. Something that's interesting, though, is that you will be able to transfer your save data from the original Monster Hunter generation. So I have no idea how that works. How do you transfer save data from a 3DS game to a Switch game? I didn't realize such a thing was possible, but that's what says in the press release. So. Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah, Capcom moves in mysterious ways.
Yeah. I mean, I've never really gotten into the Monster Hunter series. I did really like Monster Hunter Stories because, you know, that was a almost, you know, traditional style JRPG, whereas the other games are not. So that one really hooked me. Mm-hmm. But you know, the normal Monster Hunter stuff I've never really gotten into. But still, I think this is pretty cool. I'd love to give it a spin. And I am indeed glad that it is coming to North America after all.
Yeah, this seems like a good one for, you know, Monster Hunter fans that are clamoring to play something on the Switch. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's good to have it.
Yeah, I hope you get World eventually, but for now, this will do.
That'll do, Pig. That'll do.
One other bit of news I wanted to mention. The folks at Dark Horse have revealed that The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild art book is indeed coming to North America. It is going to be known as Breath of the Wild Creating a Champion. So it is a whole bunch of behind-the-scenes info, lots of concept art, lots of information for fans of that game.
Sounds cool. You going to pick this one up?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this book, I think it came out in Japan around the end of last year. I was fairly convinced it was going to come out here because Dark Horse has been doing the other Zelda books. I went on Twitter and made some comment about how I expected Dark Horse was going to pick it up. And, you know, they liked my tweet. So I took that as sort of a confirmation unofficially it was going to be coming out here. And indeed, it is now official. It will be coming. It's supposed to be out on November 20th. It's going to cost $40. And yeah, I mean, that game was so good. All the other Zelda books have been so good. I cannot wait to add this one to my library. It should be fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, just the few pages I've seen of the Japanese one, you know, make it look really, really great. I saw all kinds of you know, sexy fishman artwork in there. So fans of Prince Sidon and any other aspect of Breath of the Wild, you know, should definitely consider adding this one to their collection.
Yeah, I don't usually pick up art books, but this one definitely has my attention.
Yeah, it should be pretty darn good. All right, this is normally where I would say it is time to open up the mailbag and read some listener letters. But we've actually been, you know, going on so long today, I think we're going to have to postpone that until next week. So instead, let's take an intermission, and then we come back, we will discuss this week's big topic, which is the characters we want to see in Super Smash Bros. For Switch. All right, we are back, and we are ready to discuss this week's big topic, which is the new characters we would like to see in the new Super Smash Bros. Game that is coming to Nintendo Switch. Of course, this game was revealed by Nintendo several weeks back. We still don't know a whole lot of details about it. Is it a brand new game? Is it an enhanced port? But we definitely know that there will be new characters on the way. We know the Inklings will be involved. It appears that Link will now be in his Breath of the Wild attire. But beyond that, Nintendo is playing things close to the vest. A lot more will be revealed in the coming weeks. There's going to be a tournament. It's obviously going to be at E3. But for now, we're just kind of guessing and speculating and hoping about what we want to see in the game. And what better way to do that than discussing the characters we would like to see added to this version of Super Smash Bros.
That's right, Chris. I can't wait to see what you've got on your list.
Yeah, I guess I will kick things off and start by going with my first pick. And, you know, maybe this is going to sound crazy to some people, but for me, I feel like, you know, this would be one of the best choices. It would be a no-brainer to add to the Super Smash Bros. Lineup, and that is Pauline from Donkey Kong, from Super Mario Odyssey. Yes, that Pauline.
Oh, you're one-up girl.
Yes. And, you know, she might not exactly seem like the obvious choice for a fighter. She's not known exactly for her brawling prowess. But, you know, then again, a lot of the characters in Smash Bros. Are not. And if there's one thing that she has proven by her appearance in Odyssey, it's that she is up for any task. I mean, she used to just be the damsel in distress. She used to just kind of be this, red dress wearing floozy. But now we've discovered, she's a lot more than that. She has gone on from being Mario's cast-off to being the mayor of the city to being a celebrity singer. And, she clearly has a lot of talents that, nobody suspected. I imagine one of those definitely could be kicking butt in Smash Brothers. And, knowing what a powerful, impactful character she has suddenly turned into, I would love to see her in Smash Brothers.
That's really funny to imagine. I really had no idea you would pick that. I like it. I think plus she would be able to fight really well in her like pantsuit that she was wearing.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, I can already imagine like her level in New Donk City,
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Yep, I think she would be a great inclusion, whether it's the pantsuit or the dress or whatever. And plus, she could finally take out her revenge on Donkey Kong, just like literally punch Donkey Kong in the face, despite the fact that, my headcanon is that her and Donkey Kong actually still have a thing going on after all these years.
Yeah, totally.
Anyway, what's one of your picks?
Well, this is one that I've been clamoring for forever, and they just don't seem to ever answer the call, but I really want Toad.
Ah.
Or even further, Captain Toad, maybe as a costume.
Yes, yes. I mean, that's a great pick. He is on my list as well.
Yeah, he just, Toad is maybe one of my favorite characters in the Mario universe. He's my go-to in every version of Mario Kart. He's a runt. He was once a weapon that Peach could wield, which I don't think yes. is very fair. But it's long overdue, and I think it's time for him to shine.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I mean, for me personally, I feel like he was kind of a minor character before, but now that he has his own game, now that we have Captain Toad Treasure Tracker, I feel like this is kind of his opportunity to shine. He's now a main character with his own game. I want to see, the Captain Toad version of the character as, a playable character in Smash. I mean, sure, the original classic Toad outfit I think should be in there as an alternate costume, but for me, it's actually Captain Toad I want, and that's a character that I think makes the most sense in the game. But we were totally both on the same page. We both agree that, it is definitely Toad's turn to get in there and mix it up with the other Nintendo superstars, for sure.
Man, all this agreeing might ruin our Nemi status,
Yeah, we'll see what we can do about that.
Awesome. What do you got?
This is one I've certainly talked about before when characters for Smash Brothers come up, and that would be Professor Layton.
Ah, nice.
Technically, he is a third-party character, but, Nintendo has published all of his games here in North America, and, they obviously have a lot of characters from major Japanese publishers. They don't have a level 5 character yet, but, who better to bring in than Professor Layton? Well, I suppose you could say, one of the characters from Yo-Kai Watch, but for me, Professor Layton is definitely the better choice. He looks, very unique with his top hat, and he does have the fighting chops. I've talked before about how he has proficiency with fencing, and I remember in one of his games where he turned a slot machine into a, coin machine gun. He could fire coins with it. I'm like, that would be a really cool move for Smash Brothers. I'm not really sure how else they would incorporate his, intellectual abilities into the game, but, I think he has been around enough that he is definitely worthy of a space, and I think he has, the chops to belong. So I would love to see Professor Layton in there.
Yeah, I think he'd be a really fun character, and you can almost imagine him using, Luke the way that Peach used Toad.
That could be fun, interesting.
Yeah, something of that variety.
It's not child abuse.
Yeah, and then, of course, you have to, find a move that incorporates his hat somehow, or maybe his stern pointing finger. Maybe that's some sort of attack.
Yeah, that would all be good. But, yeah, I could see him taking off his hat and, attacking with his afro somehow.
That's right. Forgot he has one of those under there.
Maybe that's his super attack or something, his final smash. Professor Layton devastating afro move.
Amazing. All right, Chris. Well, I think I can do you one a little bit more contemporary.
Okay.
How about Springman from ARMS?
Interesting. Interesting choice, indeed. I definitely agree. ARMS definitely should have some representation. I mean, it is a fighting game first and foremost. So, having a fighter added to Smash Brothers really makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think if there were a poster boy for ARMS, I think Springman is probably the guy. He's got the the all American spiral haircut, like Bob's Big
Toothpaste
Boy.
Head.
Yeah, and then he just seems to be the one they kind of use in some of the marketing. And the game doesn't really have a titular character per se. There's no one that really stands out, but I think Spring Man in general probably makes the most sense. You know, you could always add like a Max Brass or a Ribbon Girl, perhaps.
Yeah, you're right. Spring Man and Ribbon Girl certainly get most of the attention. I think they're the ones that are on the cover of the package. I think it's actually Ribbon Girl punching Spring Man in the face.
That's right.
Is what's on the box art. And yeah, those two, they certainly get the monster's share of the spotlight. So I could see you easily going with either one of them. For me personally, though, I was thinking that the representative should indeed be Max Brass. Because... you know, like you said, those two get a lot of prominence. They're heavily featured characters, but neither of them are like the star of the game. You could pretty much make the same arguments for almost any character in the game. I mean, all the characters are pretty interesting. You could say Helix because he's very unique. It could be Bite and Bark. They're very unique. It could be Twintel. I mean, she's possibly my favorite character in the game. She's pretty cool. But Max Brass, he's kind of the champion. He is the title holder. You need to defeat him. And so I kind of like the idea of having Max Brass in there as, sort of the representative character, because he is already at the top. He is the champ. He's the one that needs to be defeated. So I feel like he should be representing ARMS in Super Smash Bros. For that reason.
Look at you with all your ARMS knowledge right off the bat.
I try.
Nicely done. What's your next character of choice?
I guess from there, I would go with the Elite Beat Agents.
Oh, nice.
And again, that's one that I'm pretty sure I have brought up before. And, I love Elite Beat Agents. I love the game. I really enjoy the characters. And, I've thought about this before. Should it somehow be three characters that work in tandem, kind of like the Ice Climbers did? Or should it just be, a different skin for, each costume, basically? It would be one of the different agents. But any way you look at it, it is a very underappreciated game. It's a really fun game. And they're just really fun, cool character designs. And somehow I like the idea of incorporating the rhythm game musical element into a fighting style. I don't know how you would do it personally, but that's why I am not Sakurai. I don't make the games. I just come up with crazy suggestions like putting the Elite Beat Agents in there. But great characters, great game. I would just love to see them make a comeback. And I know it's a stretch for sure, but I think it would be a lot of fun.
Well, I like where your head's at. And I wholly support Elite Beat Agents being in the next Smash Brothers.
Yeah, that would be cool.
All right, so I know you mentioned this guy earlier, and he's appearing in this other game, Blade Strangers, but...
Oh, yes.
And I think this is obviously one that a lot of people are clamoring for, but I gotta say, Shovel Knight needs to be in this game.
Oh, yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, it's just too good to be true. He's an amiibo. He, is probably the pinnacle of indie games, iconography, like people actually being able to recognize a character from another game that isn't made by Nintendo, that is only available on the eShop. Well, that's not true anymore. But yeah, it just seems like the perfect choice to have this guy.
Those are all good reasons. That makes a lot of sense.
Plus, all his moves are unique. You could have so many cool attack moves. You could bounce off enemies. Tons of stuff you could do.
Yeah. I mean, Blade Strangers proves that he is going to be a pretty fantastic, phenomenal fighting game character. Sure, why not bring him into Smash? And Nintendo published that game in Japan, so he's already kind of in the Nintendo wheelhouse. So whereas at one time I would have thought such a thing was impossible, he would be relegated to just being the indie darling, with Nintendo behind it, with the amiibo out there, I can actually see it happening now. So I think that would be an excellent choice.
Let's hope it happens.
Yeah, that would be very cool. As for my next pick, I'm going to go with the one that if anyone who knows me and has been following me or this show for any amount of time, they know I'm going to say the Amazon from Pro Wrestling.
I have to cross that off my list now, too. The Amazon would be my choice as well.
Yeah. I mean, again, kind of like we were talking about characters in ARMS, Pro Wrestling, it is a game about, you know, people who fight. They punch, they kick, they grapple, and that seems like the most obvious way to go when you're picking characters for Smash Brothers. You want to have a character who is a fighter. And, you know, it could really be anybody from pro wrestling. They could put any character from that series in there, but I think the top two choices would be the Amazon and Starman. I think that's where everybody would automatically gravitate towards. Those are the ones who are most memorable. They have the coolest moves. But the Amazon, for me, you know, he's just the most unique of the group. I mean, he's a fish man.
Yep.
Fishmen are hot these days.
He chews on people's faces. He puts them in noogies and headlocks and all that.
Yes, he bites their face and he stabs them with a fork. So how could you go wrong with that?
You really can't.
So, yeah, I would love to see someone from pro wrestling get the recognition, and I would love it to be the Amazon.
Yeah, I mean, it could be Fighter Hayabusa for all I care. It's got to just be somebody.
Yeah, well, maybe not Fighter Hayabusa. I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, King Slender, Giant Panther, King Korn Karn, they really should have some representation in there. I mean, I don't think there will be, because Nintendo seems to have, like, sort of erased this game from the history books, but it would be awesome, and it would make so much sense.
Totally agree. I'll tell you what else would make sense, Chris.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I really would like to see something else from the Metroid universe be a playable character in Smash Brothers.
Oh, really?
Now, the obvious one would be Ridley.
In a sense, I know a lot of people have wanted to see Ridley over the years.
Yeah, it might be tough to pull off because Ridley's, you know, in a lot of the games, Ridley shows up giant. And, you know, takes up half the screen.
He does, although, you know, by that logic, you know, Captain Olimar should only be like, you know, 2 pixels tall. So they obviously play a little bit fast and loose with the relative size of the characters.
That's true. That's true.
But still, I see what you're saying, and I tend to agree.
Now, the other option you could go with, if you're going to put a Metroid character in, I could actually see them putting an actual playable Metroid.
Huh. That'd be bizarre.
I don't know if that could actually work. I don't know what the logistics of it are. I think it's similar to what you were saying with Elite Beat Agents. I don't really care how they do it. I just kind of want to see it done. You know, they could also obviously dabble into some of the bounty hunters that exist in the universe now. But me personally, I think Ridley would be my choice if I could pick anything from the Metroid universe. But I think it's time for something else from that universe to be a playable character.
Yeah, I agree. I totally think you're right. There should be more Metroid representation in there. I would probably prefer to see Ridley over a Metroid because I'm just not sure how a Metroid can punch. But yeah, I'd love to see more Metroid in there.
Have you seen Jigglypuff?
Well, at least he has arms.
Barely.
Well, speaking of you know, classic old school Nintendo franchises that need to be represented in Smash, I am going to go with a character that has not been seen in quite a while.
Mm-mm.
Wart from Super Mario Brothers 2.
Wow, I had a feeling you might go there. You were really talking about him the other day when we had Super Mario Brothers 2 on here.
Yeah, in our Tournament of Villains. That's he showed right. up then, and yeah, he's been sticking with me ever since, I guess. I would love to see some more Wart. I mean, he was a great villain for his day, and we just, you know, haven't really seen him since then. You know, the game is celebrating, what, its 30th anniversary this year, so it kind of seems like a good time to bring Wart back. And, you know, a lot of people want to see King K. Rool in the game, and as we pointed out on that episode of the show, you know, Wart and King K. Rool have a lot of visual similarities, but to me, Wart is still the far superior villain. He was the originator, and you know, he does everything that King K. Rool does, but he does it better.
Kind of like me and you.
Exactly, although we might have differing opinions as to which one is superior in that argument.
Sorry, I couldn't help it. But if you're going to go to Super Mario Brothers 2, I have a suggestion.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think it's high time that Birdo makes an appearance into Smash Brothers.
Yeah, that's not a bad choice either.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Birdo just like kind of appears here and there in random games. And, you know,
sometimes he's driving a cart. Sometimes he's on a baseball team. You never know.
Completely hit or miss. I mean, the thing can fire eggs from its mouth. So that's an obvious attack that it could have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in addition to, I'm sure they could get really funny with the way he, or should I say it? I don't know what the... he, she...
I'm sticking with the original canon. where they say it's a dude who thinks it's a woman but isn't.
Yep. And this is a judgment-free zone, so no problems there. But yeah,
indeed.
Yeah, I would just like to see Birdo make a triumphant reappearance into Smash Brothers.
Well, I definitely wouldn't mind that either. I mean, my preference would certainly be for Wart, but I would certainly not object seeing Birdo in there as well.
All right, what else you got?
The next choice for me would be Funky Kong.
Ah, that's another one I have on my list.
We got, you know, two Donkey Kong representatives in there right now. We got Donkey, we got Diddy, and after having an entire mode dedicated to him, you know, I think he's ready perhaps to have an all-new mode dedicated to him in Smash Brothers. We'll have a new funky mode in Super Smash Brothers. I mean, he has proven himself to be the funkiest of Kongs and to be able to carry an entire Switch port on his shoulders. He's got all kinds of, you know, new crazy moves. He's got his surfboard, and he has very, very good teeth. And, you know, I think, you know, his shiny teeth alone might, you know, make him eligible to be a shoe-in as a Smash Brothers character.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think maybe him even being in Tropical Freeze is maybe a little foreshadowing on Nintendo's part. Maybe? I don't know. Who knows?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I feel like, you know, kind of like Dixie Kong might be the next character in line from that series. But no, for me, I would much rather have it be Funky Kong. I feel like he brings something new and obviously decidedly funky to the table that other Kongs do not. So, yeah, I would love to see him in the game.
It's true. I heard your middle name was Funky.
I cannot confirm nor deny that.
Now, Chris, I actually did add King K. Rool to my list.
Aha.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, being the true nemesis that we are, I felt like it just made sense that I did.
Mm-hmm. I see.
I think there is a need for more Donkey Kong love in Smash Brothers, and King K. Rool is a fan favorite. Of course, he looks like a pro wrestler, so he has all of sorts of moves he could use. Of course, you could even leverage the crown he has on his head.
Yes.
And he is like a freaking alligator anyway, so, you know, worst case scenario, he just chomps you.
I suppose so.
But I do. I think that he would be a worthwhile character to add to the roster.
Well, he wouldn't be the worst one to add, but certainly would not be in my top 10, I would say. He's just a wart wannabe.
Wow. I mean, they do dress alike.
They do, but only one of them barfs out a stream of vegetables. Okay, moving on. The next one I am going with is Rex from Xenoblade Chronicles 2. And I don't think that Rex is even my favorite character in that game or, you know, in the Xenoblade Chronicles universe, but I do feel like that game should get some recognition. You know, Shulk got to be in there from the first Xenoblade Chronicles, and I think that Rex should be in there as the protagonist from Xenoblade Chronicles 2. You know, he has cool partners in the game and all kinds of crazy attacks, and, you know, even though, you know, he's kind of annoying at times, and, you know, I get a little bit tired of him saying easy peasy and other weird phrases like that. I do think that, you know, after going on his epic adventure on Switch, he is more than worthy of being included in Smash Brothers.
That's a good choice.
Not to mention, you know, I can only imagine the gorgeous, amazing backgrounds they could include in the game, you know, borrowing some scenery from Xenoblade Chronicles 2. So that's another reason I think he would be a great inclusion.
Yeah, no kidding. So, you know, the Pokemon are always kind of a fan favorite, and each one there seems to just be, you know, a handful of random Pokemon.
Yeah.
One that I feel like has been sadly overlooked after all these years is Mr. Snorlax.
Snorlax.
Yeah, I think that he could add a really fun, you know, just random element of being just this giant Pokemon that can do aggressive things. You know, obviously he's high risk, high reward.
Would he be able to move? Would he just be asleep there the whole time you're playing him?
Yeah, he could definitely move, but maybe if he does a huge smash attack, he just ends up like laying down on the ground, snoozing for a few seconds, vulnerable to all hits and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Snorlax is one of my favorite, and it would just be fun to see him sort of in this universe and, you know, give him a shot at, you know, being a heavyweight.
Okay. Yeah, that probably wouldn't be my first choice. I think if I'm going to add a new Pokemon to the game, it would probably be Litten's evolution from Sun and Moon, Incineroar, since it's basically like a pro wrestler with a championship belt already on it.
Pretty rad.
But if we've got the Amazon in, then that's probably going to be redundant. So in that case, your Snorlax is fine.
All right. Well, thank you.
But as for my last choice, not that these are in any particular order, I am going with Groose from The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword.
Wow. Groose is pretty rad.
Groose has always been a personal favorite of mine. He's been the rival to Link. He's always wanted to be the hero. I don't know why, but for some reason, I have always kind of liked the dude. He has a really cool, subplot about redemption and stuff. And plus, he has the Gruusinator, which is his obvious final smash. So I would love to see Groose make a comeback. I mean, personally, I'd also be happy with him as like a new playable character in Hyrule Warriors. But Smash Brothers is even a step above that. So I would love to see Groose and his crazy fancy hair making an appearance, in Nintendo's All-Star Fighting game. So that would be really cool in my book.
You just like that he has red hair.
I think you like that he has red hair.
Yeah, that's true.
So are we on to your last one now?
We are. Although, it's sort of a three-way tie.
Huh. Okay.
Honestly, it's kind of a joke. I was trying to think, what's like the dark horse here? Which one is really, out of left field, one that you'd never think of.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah, I'm on the edge of my seat. Come on.
Well, I was thinking Box Boy would be an excellent addition to Smash Bros.
Okay. That's one I had not thought of. That is true.
He's got his own amiibo.
That's true. In Japan.
Yeah, he's sort of just a box. And probably could have some pretty cool recovery moves using some of those puzzle techniques he has in the game.
Yeah, the way he's able to like make the hook style blocks come out of his head to catch himself.
Yeah,
I could actually see those turning into really cool attacks. That's an interesting proposition. I rather like it.
Yeah, and my other choice would be Uniracer, a unicycle from Uniracer.
What if it's Box Boy riding a unicycle from Uniracers?
Yeah, that's right, Uniracers. I always get it wrong. I always say the singular version. Yeah, I could just imagine a single unicycle being a pretty formidable foe in Smash Brothers.
I want to see the unicycle fight the Metroid, and then neither of them can punch each other in any way, shape, or form. And it has no brain to suck out either. I don't know how it would actually win.
I think it would just be a draw. And then for just selfish reasons, I'd like to see Slippy.
Okay.
I don't know what his attacks would be, and I don't know what his abilities would be, but
maybe he would just throw Uncle Grippy at people.
Or maybe he flies around in an R-Wing.
I know the truth, and the truth is you just want an excuse to use your Slippy voice again today, right?
That's right, Chris!
I knew it. Okay, well, I guess that does it for our discussion of Smash Brothers characters. Hopefully, at least a couple of these will make it in. With the last Smash Brothers game, I feel like Nintendo could have done way, way more with their DLC. I feel like they could have kept pumping out DLC characters for years to come, made a ton of money, and made a lot of people happy in the process. Not that I'm really into paying tons of money for DLC, but hopefully, Nintendo will be able to bring some more obscure characters to this edition of Smash Brothers, if that means lots of DLC over the years, but it also means getting crazy characters you'd never expect, like Box Boy or the Amazon. I am totally for it.
I can't believe you didn't say Shantae.
Hey, I like the character, but I don't know if she's quite ready for Smash Brothers yet. Maybe she'll get into Blade Strangers first.
I was going to say, maybe. Or Perfect Stranger.
Right. I mean, she could definitely take Balky Bartokomus.
What about Cousin Larry?
Okay, clearly this has totally gone off the rails by now, so I believe it is time to wrap up this episode of the podcast. However, before we go, I believe we do have time for one more thing.
What's that, Chris?
That would be a dramatic reading.
Hmm.
And this time, it is the eShop description of the Switch game, Professional Construction: The Simulation. immerse yourself in the sprawling and fascinating world of road construction. Experience life on the construction site like the pros, and use heavy equipment and massive machinery. Enter an open-world scenario to complete a large variety of assignments. There's no way you can get bored repairing roads and doing so much more. A wide range of heavy construction equipment stands ready for your use. Utilize pavement milling, bulky cement mixers, powerful dump trucks, practical mini excavators, and more. Features: loads of challenging tasks, an open world with a gravel quarry, port, and train station. Lots of special vehicles like the bulldozer, mill, and flatbed truck. Diverse missions: fuel aircraft, sell vehicles, dispose of rubble, and organize construction materials. Assignments big and small: repair roads, excavate foundations, and repair runways.
There's some odd grammatical choices in that.
There are a few, but what I'm most excited about is that there's no way you can possibly get bored repairing roads.
No, possibly not. No way.
And doing so much more.
Now, what game is this?
This is Professional Construction, the simulation.
Yeah, but for what console?
It's for Switch, man. This is straight out of the eShop.
No way.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
This is a recent release. I don't know anything about it. For all I know, the game could be amazing. But you know, reading the description, I kind of have my doubts.
Yeah. Speaking of, I feel like the eShop really needs to get cleaned up.
Yeah, it probably does. It seems like unless you know exactly what you're looking for, or you're willing just to look down some crazy list in chronological order, it's kind of hard to find anything. Yeah, hopefully we will get that sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I mean, I do like the fact that you just, you know, turn it on once a week and you get treated to just a smattering of games you have no idea what they are.
It's true. Who knew a couple weeks ago that I was going to find Professional Construction, the simulation, in there? But boom, there it was, ready for me to mill some roads and whatever.
Right. I'm also hoping that someday they'll kind of show you some reviews for the games too. Like a star rating.
Oh, that might be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, maybe we could talk about that on a future episode.
We'll see what we can do. Anyway, that does it for this week. As always, you can find us at powerpros.podbean.com, and you can follow us at PowerProsPod on both Facebook and Twitter. You can follow me, The Hoth, on Twitter at Chris The Hoth, and you can find Pete at Burly Red Yeti. You can email us at powerprospod@gmail.com, and if you like the podcast, of course it would be great if you told your friends about us. Thanks for listening, everybody. For myself, Pete Michaud,
Falcon Punch,
and the Aegis herself, Pyra,
your kindness led me here.
We will see you next time.